Hello, my name is Kevin Lemberg. I use a rooted Samsung Continuum with ADW Launcher, and now get ready for the podcast where the experts talk and stuff.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 64 for Thursday, July 14th, 2011. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there, so let's just get to it. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this little shindig and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. And with us this week, we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Hey, everybody.
And Corey Streeter from the Android Central forums.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
And Alex Doby from Jolly Old England.
Hey there, everyone.
And Mickey Papillon from sunny Arizona. How you doing, Mickey? You are the cell phone junkie.
Yes, good evening, everybody in this chat. And good day, everybody who's listening to us on the podcast.
Chat room. How's the chat room? How's everybody? We okay? Chat room's happy. They're quiet. Did you guys you guys just brought the band hammer, didn't you?
Indeed.
Yeah. My biggest band.
Done.
Well.
You can't ban everybody.
Yeah, you can. But, you know, it's not as fun when you're sitting there talking to yourself.
It's been a long, crazy week. So we just get to it, really. I mean, you guys got anything you want to talk about up front?
Droid 3.
Droid 3? Well, I mean, that was going to be part of it. But all right, let's just talk Droid 3. I have one. I have two, actually. So I think we've got a voicemail later. I'm not sure if we'll get to it or not. But somebody was worried about how we hadn't had review units last week, even though the thing had been out for a couple days by that point. So I went out and bought a Droid 3 today, and about 20 minutes after I got home with it, I realized they had shipped me one. It got here today. So we have lots of Droid 3s going on. What do you want to know?
I'm dying to hear how you like it.
It's pretty good. It's all right, you know.
Is it as thin as they make it out to be?
No, it's not. It's
okay.
And I still haven't. I need to go back and look at the specs. I don't think it's much thinner. Maybe I'm looking at it here. Maybe a tiny bit thinner than the Droid 2, but certainly not. But you know, don't worry about the thickness. It's actually taller and wider than the Droid 2. So I mean, it's going to have to be, right. So it's got a 4-inch screen. What was the old one? 3.7.
Yeah.
3.5, I forget. So the screen's bigger. I like the design better. So the sides of it, instead of being kind of sloped like the old ones, the sides are flat, just straight down or really close to it. Whereas before, you would slide the screen up to reveal the keyboard, and the chin was part of the screen that slides up. Now the chin is part of the base, and I really like that look better, I think. I don't know why, but I do.
How's the keyboard?
Yeah, so that's the important part, right? The keyboard is actually pretty good, and I think I narrowed it down. They have finally, it took them 2 damn years to do it, but there are spaces between the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot, but just enough to make it better. I'm not sure it's perfect. I think I still like HTC's keyboards better. Just, you know, the big, round, kind of chiclet-type buttons. But as far as Droid keyboards go, this is much better, thanks to that spacing. The clickiness of the keys, exactly the same. The feel of the keys, you know, still very plasticky, that same sort of thing.
Mm.
But having the space between them makes a big difference. What else? Haven't gotten to test the camera yet. It's 8 megapixels. It'll do 1080p video. It does have an HDMI out port, which is good. None of that MHL crap where you have to plug it into the TV and then plug in a power source to the adapter, which is just ridiculous. The OS is, you know, it's still Fill Blur, Moto Blur, whatever blur. It's not horrible. It's a dual core device, so it's still pretty snappy, except a lot of the transitions in the OS are slow, and I don't think they're laggy. So, like, when you unlock the phone or when you hit the app drawer button, and then it's like it takes half a second too long for the thing to open up. And I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that has anything to do with the hardware. It's a dual-core phone. It only has 512 megabytes. That's probably enough. It just feels like a timing thing and not a lag thing, right? So that's something they could fix. Because, like, going through the home screen's just fine. Haven't had a chance to like really play any games or anything or do any video testing yet, but I mean, other than that, the new Blur, whatever it is actually not horrible. It's got some interesting widgets. It has these contact widgets, and I'm gonna have to do a whole nother video because I've been playing with this thing and finding out new stuff. So it has these contact widgets up there, and it shows like four favorite contacts. So for me, it shows like Dieter, my mom, my dad, and Jerry. That's an eclectic group. But so you can tap one to contact them, or if you pull down in the middle, you see all the cards move a little bit, and then it opens up all your favorite contacts. That's really cool.
Yeah, make a video. That sounds neat.
Yeah, it really is. This thing is just chock full of apps. It's got Citrix on it. It's got GoToMeeting. It's got all the VCAS crap. And Mickey, I know you've been waiting for this one. City ID is there.
Well, that's good. I can't believe it's taken this long. So I have just one question. You know, we can talk about the specs, but everyone, you know, has probably seen them at this point. Over the last 10 minutes, whatever, we've been talking about this, and even before the show, your general enthusiasm for this device is pretty mediocre, and I'm trying to put my finger on why it is. Can you explain what it is about it that's not really exciting you? I mean, this is a new phone. This is mm-hmm. This is the third generation in the Droid line. What is it?
I don't know. And maybe I should be more excited about it than I am. Maybe I'm just tired.
they're doing the whole Razer thing all over again. It's like they just it's the same phone. They just keep putting out another one.
I was thinking about my complaint, and I really hate to call it a complaint, but it kind of was that they low key this launch. That they're just, you know, like the day it was available online or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, here's the Droid 3. You might have heard about it. You know, you can get it in stores next week. Nah. And then they're like, yeah, we'll get your review units, whatever. I mean, they just didn't make a big deal out of it at all. In fact, I get to the Verizon store at 9 o'clock this morning, right after it opens. And I was like, hey, I need to get a Droid 3, please. And they're like, ooh, can we sell it yet? I'm not even sure we can sell it. Let me go check. And it took them like 10 minutes to find somebody and check and make sure they were allowed to sell it. I was like, yes, it's available. I can show you the press release if that will help. You know, maybe you know who I am. Yeah. I'm Jerry Hildenberg.
What? I'm not allowed in Verizon stores.
I hate going to the store. So, like, they didn't have any out. I think they only had, like, five in the store. So, you know, they weren't expecting a huge launch. But on the other hand, I mean, maybe it kind of made sense, right? So the Droid is just a solid, solid phone. And solid's like my standby adjective for a phone, right? But you know what you're getting. You're getting a halfway decent keyboard, a slider phone. It's going to be fairly powerful. Why would they want to reinvent the wheel? Now, Jerry brought up something today, and I think it was you, Jerry, right? And a good reason why they might not have wanted to promote this so much, and that reason is
it's 3G.
It's not an LTE phone. LTE is their cash cow right now.
Yep. Somebody in the chat room just said it a few seconds ago too. Cold Confession 13. It's a, you know, no LTE doesn't make it as marketable, maybe.
I guess. Yeah, and I'm having to go back to using a 3G phone. The guy's like, really? You're deactivating a Thunderbolt for this? That's a way, you know. I'm a weird case, but I mean, as far as like being a phone goes, it's not horrible. Now, God, I don't like these icons on it at all. So, I mean, it's got a different design on the icons. So the mail icon looks like almost like an upside down Xbox controller. The camera looks like a washing machine.
Oh God! No, Why do they always get the UI messed up?
Well, I mean, look. I mean, if you don't mess it up, then you get accused of looking like Apple, like Samsung has. So you got to try something. True. Ooh, I just found something out. Ooh, there's a market shortcut in the like not just the app, but an extra market shortcut in the app drawer that I just found.
If you look back, though, you know, Verizon seems to really promote the new stuff. So when Android was new and they had the exclusive agreement with Motorola, they really did pump the advertising and make a big deal out of it. When the Thunderbolt came out, it was their, you know, flagship LTE device. And then if you look at all the other phones, think back to the original Incredible, everybody wondered why. Yeah, they had the LCD or the screen shortages, but a lot of phones, even the Fascinate and some of the other phones, they don't really push them that hard. They don't make big marketing deals out of them like they have some of the other ones. So it's usually there's some major like new technology or, you know, like with Android, that seems to be the time when they really make big deals out of stuff. Plus, they've lost their exclusivity with Motorola as well. Now they're doing Sprint and some of the others.
Mickey, do you think maybe, and this is the other thing I came up with, Verizon just doesn't have to totally pimp this phone? I mean, because it's the Droid. It is the Droid. You hear Droid, you know what you're getting. People are going to get one. They'll phase out the Droid 2 at some point once the inventory's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And I think they're, it's already passed in the chat, but someone mentioned how Verizon said 4 LTE phones this year. And back at CES, and we're now at 3. The fourth one will be the Bionic. And maybe they said to Motorola, look, we're gonna give you some coverage, but it's going to only be with one device, and that's going to be the Bionic. So you're not going to see much with this. And you know, and Motorola went, okay, so we won't do much with this one either. And that's kind of where it's just hanging there, right?
And I don't think, I mean, you can't go balls to the wall on every single phone, right? They're going to be
right. Down. That's what I was.
Even on high-end phones, you know, you just cannot cram every little thing in there. It's going to be too expensive. It's going to be too expensive for the carrier to get.
Yeah, that's true.
They have to look Verizon, at it and say, all right, how many of these are we going to be able to sell? Not that many? Okay, then, you know, scale back a little bit.
Bingo. They have to pick and choose. And I think they're going to pick the Bionic for the Android phone that they're going to just scream about like they did the Thunderbolt after it was released. But this fall, they've got another phone coming up that they're going to have to spend a lot of money on advertising too. So,
which,
you know,
that?
They have to. That might be the iPhone.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
Well, Corey, if you owned a business and sold iPhones, would you not advertise that you were selling the iPhone?
Well, there's a question.
I suppose.
I mean, there's a question. How much of that advertising comes from the carrier and how much comes from Apple? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, because I have to ask Renee. It's a good question for Renee, because when you see, I mean, I'm trying to think of like any pure AT&T iPhone commercials, or if, you know, there's an AT&T commercial that just happens to mention the iPhone at the end. They're like, yeah, oh, by the way, go get the iPhone.
No, it's all Apple controlled.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Yeah, a lot of the ads look like they're Apple ads. I mean, right. you do see some AT&T ads, but they're mostly look like they're hosted by Apple.
The funny thing, though, about the advertising is, and I'm sure Apple controls this because of just the branding side of it, but you watch an Apple ad and then you watch an AT&T ad.
Oh,
and
it's night and day.
It's almost like, oh, yeah, you've gone from this like professionally done, clean, very, the message is there, you know what they're talking about, to like, and no offense to it, but it's like if I were to do a commercial,
right.
That's what happened. That's like the comparison with when AT&T does one. So I'm actually going back in my mind trying to think of any AT&T commercial that is anything more than just you can get the bargain basement iPhone, right? I mean, they do the featuring the iPhone, but it's some other feature. I don't know why I'm sticking on this, but I think that's a good point too. Is that there's got to be certain limitations and things that the carriers are stuck to being able to do for these particular devices. And I'm actually thinking the Bionic may be the case for this one right now.
It better be for as long as it's taken and them having to totally remake it, right?
Well, I think that kind of plays in their favor too. I mean, the more delays, the more talk there is. Especially in the sort of the Android world.
Sure it does.
We see a lot of excitement get built up when things are delayed.
Alex, Alex, are you over there just laughing your ass off at us? Because
kind of. I don't know. I mean, the whole LTE argument doesn't even feature into it over here. So it's
right.
It's kind of, I don't know. But just from the point of having to pick and choose features, and you get that in every single market. You can't have a phone with everything on it. And even when you don't factor in LTE, you can't have the best camera on every phone. You can't have the best display on every phone. You can't have the best CPU on every phone. And some are going to be, you know, thinner or thicker or have keyboards or whatever. So it's, you know, you've always got that kind of balance to make. And like you said, the Droid 3 looks like a very nice phone. It's a very sort of plain, bland phone, but seems to do the job.
The screen's not horrible. I was a little worried about that, and I'm going back and forth. I need to look at some more pictures and stuff, but like the X2 screen at QHD resolution just wasn't that great, and I don't know why. There's something weird about it. But I can't quite decide if this one's in that same ballpark or not.
That's Sensation. Because it's kind of smaller, isn't it?
I love the Sensation. I love it to death. In fact, I was, this will transition into our next story. I was talking with HTC guys the other night at this AT&T thing I went to. And dude's like, if you buy the Sensation, if you import an AT&T one, I will unlock it for you. And I was like, dude, it costs like $20 or whatever. He was like, I don't care. I can do it for you. I'll do it. Like, they love that phone so much. They think it's great. So, yeah, so I went to New York for a night. AT&T did a little holiday showcase. And so they had the HTC Status, a.k.a. the Cha-Cha. That's what Alex knows it as. What else did we
see? It is. It's sitting a few feet from my lap right here.
Yeah, I've got mine right here. I had to charge it up, which I think you want to rant against in a minute. We walked in, and one of the AT&T reps was like, oh, yeah, by the way, we didn't announce it or anything, but we're getting the Xperia Play. It's over there. Go see it. So, I was like, oh, okay. We had that. What else? That's really all we had for Android, wasn't it?
Did you get a straight answer out of them about the bootloader on the Xperia Play? How that's going to work?
No, but I don't remember asking it either.
Europe and Asia.
Oh, is it? No. Okay. I didn't know. I'll have to check.
Yes, it's unlocked if you get it over here.
Interesting.
Yeah, all worldwide, everybody except for the CDMA version. Huh. Kind of a bummer.
Sorry. and then for those of you who also care about the touchpad, they had the AT&T touchpad there, which they just announced. So that was kind of interesting. The Status / Cha-Cha, it's interesting. It's nice to see a front QWERTY keyboard device again. I can't go back to a screen that small. I just can't do it. I keep trying to, and my head hurts. Now, some things like, there's some really good things about it. I think, you know, I mean, the Facebook integration is what it is. So the way it works is you have your home screen here, and it's dominated by the HTC clock, and then just underneath it, you see a Facebook status. So it's like the most recent Facebook status, which is fine, except for one Facebook status does me absolutely no good. If I want to see some, I want to see a lot of them, although it does rotate through them. So if you tap it, you get this kind of customized Facebook app a little bit. So you open it up and go watch our video if you haven't seen it. Go watch, look at Alex's review. Go read that thing. He did a great job on that. You have a little slider.
So I did.
Yes, you did. You can see all updates. You can see statuses, photos, links, lists, locations, notifications. And actually, it's done very well on the small screen. I mean, it's still tiny. You're still going to have to deal with that. But you kind of know that going into it, right? But also on the home screen, you have a link to the Facebook app as one of the app icons on there. And you tap it, and you're taken to that same crappy POS Facebook app that we've been stuck with. And I know it just got updated, and it's a little better, but it's still just disappointing, right? I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there who's happy with this thing. And, you know, to be honest, if Facebook is happy with this app on Android, there's something wrong. And it's just horrible on this small screen.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe HTC didn't write their own Facebook app.
Well, they did for chat. There's a separate chat app on there for it. At least there is on the Euro version.
Yeah, no, Joe from SwiftKey started chatting with me on Facebook last night. I was like, what the hell is that? I had no idea what was going on because the phone was freaking out. No, and the little custom Facebook thing that's on here works really well. But that the old Facebook app is even on there by default, let alone on the home screen staring at you saying, oh, I want to tap it now and open Facebook. It's just horrendous because it's bad enough on a big screen, but on a tiny screen, it's just worthless.
What is going on with them? I mean, it's been 2 years now. Why are they still holding back on putting out a decent Android app?
I wonder if it's politics. Remember, they hired away Eric Tseng from Google, but I wouldn't think something petty, you know, like somebody leaving a job would just cause the whole thing to fall apart, right?
I mean, if they're not going to get it right, they might as well leave it off the phone and let people download it if they really want it instead of putting
HTC
it on there.
Or HTC should have just done the custom app that they have on there, and that's it. Because it's different. It's neat, actually. I like it. And they did a nice job.
Yeah.
The phone's fast enough. I mean, it's a tiny screen. It should be.
I'll bet we start seeing a good Facebook app here in the near future.
Hope so.
Now there's competition.
Twitter can put out updates that are decent every once in a while. You'd think Facebook would be able to.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter just got multiple account stuff.
And push.
And, God, did you see the post I did? It was really kind of pithy. But so they announced that there are 1 million Twitter apps out there done by 750,000 developers, and we love them all, and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, by the way, here's our new Twitter developer portal, which makes your job even easier. And coincidentally, like, within a week of the stories coming out saying the FTC is investigating them for kind of treating third-party developers like crap.
Oh, boy.
Coincidence? I don't know.
At least we have options with them, you know, that are decent.
So, Alex, you're kind of down on the Cha-Cha, though, right?
Yeah, it's in a box. It's been in a box for a week. It's waiting to go back. But I liked it. It's fast enough. I mean, one of the things I've heard, which is probably a good comment, is that it would make a very good second phone if you're, one of these people that has second phones. There's no way I think any of us could go back to using something that small, like you said, but for just occasional texting, emailing, and that kind of thing, it does the job. It's good. It's fast. The screen's nice.
The keys are good.
It's a good device for what it is.
Who carries two phones? I don't. I'm just kidding. I have like 12.
I used to carry two on a slow day. So that's the Cha-Cha. The Xperia Play was the Xperia Play. So, seen it, done it. Coming on AT&T. So that was the AT&T event. Oh, I also hung out with LG for a little bit. They didn't have anything new to show us on Android. They had a new feature phone. The Cosmos 2 Ray. They did show me a cool Bluetooth headset. I need to put up that video tomorrow, actually. It rests on your neck, kind of like a half necklace. And then it has little earbuds that dangle from it, but they're also magnetic, so they snap back. You got to see it. It's pretty cool. I'll put up the video. So that was my little New York trip, and made it up and back without any serious problems. Knock on wood.
No overnight in Waycross, Georgia.
No. So, Alex, you want to talk about the Optimus 3D? You've got it up there. Jerry had it. I had it for a little bit. Jerry's still got it.
I have. Like I said, it's pretty much the same. Still having some issues with battery life.
Yeah.
Like I said to Jerry before the show, it's okay if you use it as a normal smartphone, but 3D will just absolutely destroy the battery on this thing.
I mean, do you mean like watching 3D or taking pictures?
Both, really. Yeah. I mean, the camera's always a camera, always a battery drain. But
And it makes sense because you're using two of them, right?
Well, yeah. Even if you're only using one, it's still kind of dodgy. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just expected for a device that's this big and this heavy to, for you not to be able to just completely run down the battery in one sitting from playing 3D games, which is what you can do quite easily if you put your mind to it.
Buy another battery. No.
Yeah, could do.
I got to stop saying that. I went on the All About Android podcast, the Android podcast on Twit on Monday, and they had a big section because they'd been testing battery apps. And I think one of them we just talked about or did a post on. And so I went on my little, go buy batteries. Oh, wait, we sell batteries. Isn't that a coincidence? But, I've been using a Thunderbolt, so I'm kind of used to it. What else do you guys want to talk about? Let's talk about Google's earnings call today, because that got kind of interesting. I don't think I've ever had so many posts come out of one earnings call. So they made a whole bunch of money, like a record $9 billion and change, up 32% over the second quarter 2010. So Google's still doing pretty good. Things we care about. So they announced that Google Plus Private, well, I called it a private beta, it's kind of semi-private, has more than 10 million members. That's sweet.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Paul Allen, like the old Microsoft Paul Allen, had some people crunching numbers, and he had some cool algorithm. And that's about what he came up with as well. And I've seen like the number of people who are following me or added me to their circles or whatever the hell you call it, like go up significantly in the past week, which doesn't mean I'm cool or anything. Yeah. I think it just means that there are a lot more people using this now.
But isn't it amazing how quickly this has caught on? I mean, this is the speed in which everyone has just gravitated over to this is fascinating to me, because it's not like this is some service that they're getting that they're not getting anywhere else. I mean, they're still getting this functionality, or they have been getting the functionality for years with these other networks. And this is the first time that Google is really the weight, you know, that they've thrown their weight behind something on the social side that's really made this big of a splash. Obviously, Buzz didn't do anything. So, but 10 million people already. I mean, we talked about, I think it was last week, right? You know, 750 million members on Facebook. Is this going to make a dent? 10 million people already. It's a dent already in what, 2-3 weeks?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
Is that a dent or is that a spike? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're 2 weeks into this. We got to see. It's... And that was something they were asking on the earnings call today was, you know, where do you see this being in 2 years? And, you know, two weeks is not a measure of anything. You know, 2 months isn't going to be either. So, I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Although I did see Mark Zuckerberg apparently left Google Plus today.
Really?
Because he doesn't want to be tracked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Well, they seem to have hit it out of the park with this one. I mean, the whole Buzz thing kind of failed. At least it seemed like it did. Didn't seem like it went very far. But this thing here, I mean, the forums are going nuts. Everybody wants an invite. There's a lot of momentum with this. So,
yeah, it's got legs, I think. It as like week two or three into this thing, the features it has now are, I think, are pretty solid, pretty stable. Like, you can build off this platform. I'm not sure how much you could have built off Buzz and Wave just because they were too whatever. But, you know, the features you want are largely here, and they're already tweaking and making it better. And 2 years from now, I think this is going to be around. I will say that right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I think it's going to be a split amongst, you know, different type of people use the internet, and some people are going to gravitate more towards the way Google Plus does things, and some people are still going to be drawn to Facebook.
Mm. Yeah,
and you know, and some people are going to do both. I mean, we can't forget that either.
Look at what happened with Gmail. I think this is maybe a good indicator, just because it was you know, they brought nothing new to the table except for a couple of, you know, minor features, but it was really kind of the, you know, the geek's email. It still is to a certain extent, and maybe that's how Google Plus is going to be. But one thing that is really, I think, nice, and it hasn't been tainted yet, I guess we'll say, was there's very few businesses that are on here right now. There's very few spammers yet. You know, it's going to come, but right now it actually feels like a network that you want to be on. You know, and I think that's one of the things that it keeps attracting me to it. I haven't posted a lot. I posted my first thing today, but I'm kind of a lurker at this point, and I like it. I think it's fun.
I do too. Nobody else? You guys don't care?
Well, I mean, I do. 63. I was just looking up how many replies we have to your Google Plus invite thread. There's 6,300 replies of people asking for invites. And it's kind of has this built-in mechanism of spreading itself, right? They make it really easy to sort of make, you know, they make a big deal about how you need an invite. So, you know, everybody wants one. And then once you get one, you end up with all these people plus wanting you. And I mean, I get like 10 a minute. You know, it's crazy. Nobody wants to be my Facebook friend, but everybody's plussing me. So
I need APIs. I need APIs now. I can't be posting things on three different services, which I shouldn't be doing anyway, yep. I guess. But, you know, I need to be able to pick and choose. I'm sure they'll open them up, but I'm going nuts here. I need one.
Yeah, it is too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is too much. And Google Plus will do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm no doubt about that. They also officially announced that we now have 50. No, see, they had a hard time saying this, so do I. 550,000 Android activations every day, said Larry Page, the CEO, by the way. 550,000. That's like 300.
4 million a week.
Yeah. It's 3.5 million in a week, or 3.8, whatever it was. Something like 380,000 activations every minute. Or no, 380. Yeah. Sorry, I can't do math.
There were more Android phones sold last week than Windows 7 phones total. Is that what you're telling me?
Supposedly. And, you know, I'm sorry.
It's kind of a gray area of kind of a gray area between activations and sales, isn't there? That doesn't always line up.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we've talked about that before, and everybody wants to know, like, when I flash a custom ROM, does that count as an activation? No, I don't think it does.
They told us that right at I.O.
Right. And regardless, it wouldn't count as many.
You can only activate a phone once. If I activate my phone, you know, new out of the box with Google, and then I sell it to Corey and he wipes it and activates it, it's still only once.
So they're going by like ESN, not ESN, but like.
But the unique ID tied to the phone.
But still, that's a lot. And, you know, you've seen people extrapolate like what the growth chart is, and it's, you know, still up there. So, I mean, it was only 2 weeks ago that they said more than 500,000. Back at I.O. in May, they said more than 400,000. So it's still going up. Yep. They also announced that the Android market has more than 250,000 applications in it. That's 250,000 for those of you playing at home. I don't, you know, we've talked about this before. I don't particularly care, you know, how many apps are in an app store, in an app market, in your app world, whatever. I think quality counts over quantity. And, you know, something like WebOS has proven that. But they said it, we blocked it. That's what I do. Tip your waitress.
I just like to have choices, mm-hmm. You know. It's nice to, you know, like just using Twitter as an example again. There's competition and it's open, and Google allows people to develop and do things. And so it's nice to be able to pick between email apps or social networking apps or whatever. So, yeah, like you said, I like quality over quantity, but I also like the variety of options that I have too.
And finally, Larry Page, he was asked to, or the company was asked to comment on something on the patent situation. This was during the Q&A. So let me just read what he said. He said, Android's really on a tear. I mentioned there were over 550,000 new Android activations. There's over 400 such devices, 39 OEMs, 231 carriers in 123 countries, and over 78 Open Handset Alliance partners, and that velocity is only increasing. Now, of course, despite the efforts of some of our competitors, there hasn't been any slowdown in any of those things. And you know, partners and developers are continuing to expand the Android ecosystem. I should say, of course, we're really committed to Android and continue to support that platform and ecosystem and do it in a cost-effective manner. Which doesn't really say anything, but you can tell in his voice, if you listen to it, like he wanted to say something. I don't think, and Renee wrote that editorial a week or so ago, I don't think Google's being silent about it because they don't care. It's something you worry about. It's a business thing, and like I've said before, I don't totally understand it. You know, it's just not the part of the world I live in. But I don't think Google's just sitting back like, you know, we don't care, whatever. Jerry?
They have to have something planned. It's probably a wise move not to share what they have planned.
Right.
You know, the way things are now, you don't want to let your competition know anything. But you know, I the Nortel stuff, you know, they kind of let that go. It's they had the money. We learned today if they wanted it, they could have kept at it, but they had something in mind and they decided just to let it go. I'm curious what they've got in store or, you know, what their plans are, and I hope it works for them.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, nothing we can really do but wait. And that's the other thing, why I don't worry too much about this. It's a long haul sort of thing. This won't be over in the next 6 months. So, I mean, we're talking months and months and years here. So,
and all these companies, I was going to say, all these companies suing each other. You know, Apple wants to sue Samsung. You know, Microsoft wants to sue HTC and Motorola. They don't want to drive these companies out of business.
No.
Apple would rather make money for every Android phone sold than drive Android out of business. Google does that now.
Right.
Google makes money from all the platforms. Mm. You know, so does Microsoft. You know, I don't blame Apple or anybody else for wanting their share if they think it's their technology. You know, but something needs done about the entire patent situation.
Yeah, we're not going to cover every little story. You know, the stories were, you know, they're saying lawyers should be kicked off the case because they have a conflict of interest. That happens all the time.
Yep. I mean,
that's the way the legal system works, right? It's just sexy because it's Apple. So, you know, when we become a legal blog, I'll worry about that a little more. But as far as the end users go, we got a long way to go on this stuff. So I'm not going to freak out about every little thing. A couple more stories. We got a lot of good voicemails I want to get to and emails as well. Jerry, you've got the MyTouch 4G slide there.
Yep. Great little phone. Lived up to what I was expecting.
Is the camera
really
that good?
Really fast? I was busy this morning, and then it started raining. I haven't been able to go outside and really play with it. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, everything they said about the shutter is true. It focuses and takes a picture. I am not going to say instant, but I would say lag-free. You know, the macro mode stuff and stuff I could play with inside, you know, it's good. It's as good as a, you know, $200 point-and-shoot camera.
Wow.
And for me, that's saying a lot for a cell phone.
We were talking with the HTC reps, and, you know, these are guys we know fairly well, so we can just sit back and talk. And said, look, I mean, like, ask just about anybody, and I think the number one complaint anybody has had about an HTC phone over the past couple of years has been the camera. And they agreed completely.
Yep. Absolutely, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, are we going to see this camera in more phones? They said, you know, almost 100% certainty, yes, you will see this camera or something very close to it in more phones. So I have a feeling, you know, they're finally waking up to that. Thank God.
Well, good. This camera and the shutter button system needs to be on every phone.
Yeah.
It's that good. Just, you know, the little bit I've played with it.
Now, you haven't used the Infuse, have you? Because that's a really good camera. In the Galaxy
No.
S2 is a really good camera, right, Alex?
Yeah, it's kind of Xperia Arc level, which is my sort of high watermark for really, really good phone camera.
So we'll see, but it's far time that HTC gets good cameras in its phones, I think. So look for Jerry's full review on that soon. The Motorola Photon 4G is coming out on Sprint in 2 weeks, July 31st, for $200. Good price, I guess. It's high-end phone. I haven't even used it yet. I haven't got to see it. Any of you guys? I don't think any of you have either, have you?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. But if you're on U.S. Cellular, you'll be able to get it sometime later this year, probably. We got U.S. Cellular's roadmap dumped into our laps yesterday. Just go through it briefly. So they're getting the Motorola Electrify, which is the Photon. Android 2.3, 4.3-inch display, dual-core, blah, 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 same thing. The picture there, it's a rendering of the Photon 4G, and it might well come out like that, but I don't think so, because if you look at the picture, it says Sprint ID on it. So I don't know if the body will be exactly the same or what, but obviously somebody just borrowed the Sprint one for the slide. LG 855, which is the Optimus Black, that was the one they said would have the really good outdoor screen, and that is the Optimus Black. HTC
another Desire. Great little phone.
Oh yeah, it is. The HTC Desire 2, we know that. The Wildfire S, we know that. The Flyer, we know it. And the Huawei Ascend 2, which is supposed to be a really good kind of mid-level phone. So we might have to try to find us one of them. So that's all coming. We'll have a link in the show notes if you want to go read that whole breakdown. Toshiba Thrive. So we went out and bought one. Interesting is, you know, that's the one that we saw at CES, right? And it was kind of like prototype hardware at the time. Interesting Honeycomb tablet now. So when we first saw it, it only had Froyo, because Honeycomb had just been announced, but it's the real deal now. It's thick, it's not light, but it has every port you could possibly want. Jerry, are there any ports missing from that thing that you could possibly want? I mean, it's got full-size HDMI. It's got a full-size
USB port. Does it have Thunderbolt?
What's that?
Thunderbolt or FireWire? I think they got the bases covered great.
Yeah. You know, full-size SD card slot. It comes in three sizes, 8, 16, or 32 gigabytes. It's insane. It's got a cool little texture on the back, and it's got a removable battery.
And I mean, there you go.
That's unheard of.
You say, well, who needs that? They last for 2 days. Somebody's going to need it.
Well, yeah.
And that's what differentiates it right there.
It's a bizarre thing. And, you know, it's not cheap. It's still, you know, $450, $500 and more if you get the 32 gigabyte. But it could be worse. Mickey, could you see yourself buying that tablet at all? Just with the size of it? And
I don't think so. But then again, I don't know. I'm still pretty infatuated with the 10.1. Mm-hmm. So I've got, like I said, I think last week I've got a coworker that's using it and actually noticed something today with it. And, I think this was already covered on the site, but so they didn't all come with unlocked bootloaders, I'm sure. But the one that this guy had did have an unlocked bootloader. It came like that. So there were, what, a handful of the 10 ones that came unlocked?
Yeah, yeah. It's, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's turning out to be more than we thought, but not all of them.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting that, mm-hmm. that came like that. Anyway, bottom line is probably not. But then again, if you're if I was someone who had this basically their tablet on all day long, like you never had the screen shut off and it was just on, then you throw in the removable battery, of course, with all the ports on this, and you know it's not a bad it's not a bad option. It's all about options. Someone's going to need this.
If I had to rank my tablets at this point, and this is a dangerous thing.
Yes, it is.
I don't think I can. I think they're all that different. I really do. I mean, the 10.1 is my favorite. But when you look at the Iconia tab, which I'm finishing up the review now, if you look at that and the Asus Transformer and the Thrive, they all do very different things. I think the Iconia tab is kind of like a mini Thrive a little bit. I mean, because it's got a full-size USB port as well. It's got HDMI out, but not full-size HDMI. It doesn't have the full SD card, but it's kind of a thinner version, but it's not light either. So, I mean, it's trade-offs, but some really, really interesting choices now. Be interesting to see what happens when Ice Cream Sandwich comes out and all that stuff. And I have to think Samsung's got something else up their sleeves. You know, we're still missing the 8.9-inch. That hadn't been released yet.
Yep.
And yeah.
I need to go back and look at what the date is, because it's starting to feel like it's late, but maybe not. Maybe they said later in the summer.
Pretty sure it's August. Kind of sounds familiar.
HTC still didn't have a Honeycomb tablet out, but they say the Flyer will, in fact, be upgraded to Honeycomb. I mean, I heard them say that the other day.
I hope they wait. I hope they wait until everything works on Honeycomb.
Well, yeah.
I had to ship the Flyer off earlier in the week. I miss it. I enjoy using the Flyer much more than I do my 10.1.
What about you, Alex?
I don't know. The thing that kind of bugged me about the Flyer was the way multitasking is just nowhere near as smooth as it is on Honeycomb. It still feels like a big phone, and that kind of irks me a little bit.
Agreed. But the things I want a tablet for, I don't think anybody has any business trying to do anything productive on a tablet. You know, call me stupid, whatever.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But you can do it. You know,
I
want to
watch movies or... Well, yeah.
Well, you can, yeah, and... That's why I'm really tempted to get a Transformer. I don't know. I'm gonna have to wait until there's a new one with Kal-El.
Yeah, that's the difference. I'm just kind of flipping through things. Anything else we missed? Those new Nexus rumors are just crap. Don't listen to them.
Thank you.
I'll just say that outright. God, people want it so bad, but it's like no, just stop it. Stop it. Scrabble's out. It sucks.
Words of Friends. Oh, whoa.
Is that it? Yeah, I mean, I like Words of Friends better. I mean, it's not a horrible app. It doesn't, like, crash, which, you know, Words of Friends has had problems with. MyTouch 4G Slide will be here July 27th. Woohoo! Anything else?
For everybody on T-Mobile.
I heard something about the Epic getting an update.
No.
Stop it. Sorry.
Yes, Sprint's website has said it's shipping with Android 2.3 because, you know, Sprint's never had typos on those before, so I asked today and they're like, no, it's not shipping, it's a typo. Everybody out there, calm down. All right, let's do some voicemails and emails, shall we?
Oh.
Oh, what?
Oh. Oh, I was going to, I wanted to mention, yes. I know it's not totally Android related, but I think it's still, it's a pretty big deal for the U.S., the Spotify launch today.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is bigger than I thought it was going to be, and I'm actually, I was able to get an invite this morning, and so I downloaded it for the desktop and started playing around with it, and dang, it's impressive, you know? I mean, it's like playing around with an online iTunes, really, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that solid, and I just so quick, and I can just, I haven't tried it on the mobile side yet, but you have, so I'd love to hear your take on it so far.
I hate playlists. I don't like playlists. I don't use playlists. So, I mean, it took me like 10 minutes to figure out how to get the music onto my phone or get it to stream something. Or I just don't. I mean, I get playlists. I know what they do, but I just don't get them, you know? As far as like the desktop app goes, it's, I use Zune desktop for my music most of the time because I love Zune Pass. Have I ever mentioned that? I might have. So it's absolutely faster than that. It works very, very well. My question is, why do I want to use it over Google Music for the way I listen to music? I don't do playlists. I don't do mixes. If I want something like that, I'll turn on Sirius because I have Sirius. So
yeah.
For me, that's, I mean, music workflows are really weird for people, right? So that's my music workflow.
Yep.
I mean, I think what they've done is created a database that is larger than pretty much anything else out there. And I was actually, more than Google Music, I was comparing this to Slacker. And I think Slacker is probably the best out there. And I think their channels are the best. I think they have done a really good job. I would take them over satellite radio any day. My problem with what Spotify has is they haven't done that. You have to make everything. I've got all the music I need in MP3s. I don't want to make more lists like you do.
Exactly.
But the fact that I can do a search for any song and it is very quick and it's very accurate, and then it brings in a whole bunch of other stuff there, is pretty neat. It's a different use case than probably I'm okay with, and I like I said, I tried it and I went, okay, this is nice. I'm glad that they've done this here, and I think a lot of people are going to like it, but Slacker's still going to be my go-to.
Spotify works through Sonos now as well.
Yes, that's a big deal. Sonos is kind of awesome for stuff like that. Alex, have you been using Spotify all this time and just kind of pointing at us?
I haven't, no. I'm probably the wrong person to ask. I use iTunes. That's not going to make me very popular, but
yeah, I mean, if
no,
it works,
no experience
cool.
Spotify whatsoever.
Man. All right, well...
Sorry.
Fine then. Take away your English passport. Something.
What?
You need a passport to use Spotify?
Because he's not using Spotify. It was like the big cool European thing that the rest of us didn't have.
Now it makes sense.
Yes, sorry. All right, let's do some voicemail, shall we? Here comes Eric.
Hi, this is Eric. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast tonight. I am a Droid X2 owner. I love the phone. My question for the guys tonight is, now that I see that the Droid 3 is out, I'm wondering, when it comes out with Gingerbread, I'm wondering why it is that the Droid X2 is not on Gingerbread. They're both dual-core phones, so what am I missing here, and what's going on with Motorola and Verizon to hold this one up? So thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bought the wrong phone. I mean, it's that simple. No.
It's the story of my life. join the club.
I mean, it comes down to there's only so much time, there are only so many people, and there's only so much money. I mean, something has to be first, right? I'm sure the X2 will get Gingerbread. It should have launched with Gingerbread, if you ask me. But I think from a practical standpoint, you know, just you can't squeeze everything in. I know that's not a.
It's just a question
answer.
Of timing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Well, then they should quit putting the same phone out every 3 months and fix, you know, update the ones that they have. I think that would be a better thing for consumers.
Actually,
I have to agree with you there, Corey.
Another interesting conversation we had with the HTC guys the other night. Because I flat out told him, I was like, I kind of wish the OS leaks would stop, because it almost causes more problems for me than, you know, not having these leaks, because, you know, people install them and then can't get updates, or, you know, or it wipes their phone and they weren't paying attention, they didn't know that, and blah, blah, blah. And so we started talking about how the updates work, and they said, look, when we find bugs, and there are always going to be bugs, and I think everybody needs to learn to live with that a little bit. I mean, in any OS, there are always bugs. Apple is unique in the fact that it is just a single train. It is one platform with basically one device, right? But for something like this, when you have bugs, they do an MR, right? A maintenance release. And the engineers, when they hear that they're going to have to do a maintenance release, they just, they run and hide, because nobody wants to do it. It's work. And they said, look, it's almost as much work as putting out a whole new phone. It's putting out a whole new release on a whole new phone. You basically start from scratch. You're not just building, because, and that makes sense, I think, because if you're building on these mistakes, then, you know, you're compounding things and you're not going to make them any better. So it's just a hell of a lot of work for them. And that's something that I think it's easy for us to take for granted.
That's probably why they're in no rush to unlock all the bootloaders on every single HTC phone as well, because you've got that work over about a dozen different devices.
And who knows how many people they have working on it. I mean, HTC's not a small company, but you know, you have a finite amount of manpower and woman power, whatever.
I'm not letting them off that easy.
Yeah?
I am not letting them off that easy. There's no work involved. Give out the key. Give out the key and you're done. Work done. So, you know, I'm not going to buy that they don't have time to get the bootloaders unlocked. Now, I will say I'm sure they have a reason for waiting, but I don't think it's time.
Well, and you don't give out the key because at the end of the day, they're still responsible for the device. They can't just put out a private key, say, you guys go for it, because what's going to happen, I mean, we've said this before, right? How many people are going to do it not knowing what they're doing and then look for support?
Very few.
I think enough.
I mean, maybe. Okay, I'll stop.
All right, we're going to agree to disagree there. Anybody else on that one? Nope.
No, in the end, we always find out a way anyway, so.
Yeah.
It sucks they do it.
Here comes Jerry.
Hi, guys. This is a comment about your last podcast. You were talking about the Droid 3. I was all hot and bothered about it. I was ready to go out and buy it, but then you brought up so many relevant facts, and the one I found the most disturbing was that they didn't give out any review units. Now, isn't that, like, really, really unusual? Like, first thing when you got a new product, especially with all the competition and phones today, especially dual core, it's coming out on the market, everybody wants to have the best dual core, that they wouldn't give one out? That makes me really suspect in not by waiting to hear all the reviews, because I'd be buying it outright. I'm not going to spend $500+ on a phone and then find out that there's something, you know, slightly wrong with it in its design or something. That's why they just didn't make no fanfare about it when it was released and just quietly put it out on the market. Oh, boy. Great. Thanks for bringing that up. I really appreciate it. And I think that's the most relevant, is that they never gave out review units. I never heard of that before, especially on Motorola. They got money coming out the wazoo, right? Jeez. Well, thanks very much. I'll go back to listening to the podcast. I just had to stop it and make the call because I said, holy moly, you know, it's really got me going. Thanks, guys. Bye.
You're not going to get any love letters from Motorola this week, are you?
No,
that guy needs to call us every week. I love that guy.
No, I do almost regret bringing that up last week. Because, I mean, that's inside baseball, right? That's stuff we have to deal with. It was still strange and a little odd. And I'm sure it's happened before. I don't think we didn't get review units of the Droid 2 beforehand last year either. So, I mean, it happens. It's a weird thing. I don't think that should weigh on whether or not you should get this phone. I'm not just sitting here reviewing it, like, just staring at it going, grr, I don't like you because I didn't get a review unit, like a pirate, apparently. Arr. I mean, that's not how we do things. So I regret saying it, flat out. Shouldn't have done it. My fault. That's what I get for bringing you guys.
But you told the truth.
Well, yeah, you know. That's what I get for doing that. My favorite part of that voicemail is like, yeah, I was excited about the Droid 3 until you mentioned some facts or something.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Nice.
All right, here comes, and I think his name was Jerry. We had a couple voicemails from him. In a,
oh, my God.
And he didn't leave his name on one of them. So, and
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. All right, here comes Kevin, who did leave his name.
Hello, my name is Kevin Lindberg. I am known as Keep of a Dog on the Android forums. If Google bought out Research in Motion, do you think that they would take some of the stuff from the BlackBerry operating system and put them in new Android phones? Or would we have like a combination thing, like Android on a BlackBerry device, like DroidBerry or something?
Is there anything out of a BlackBerry I'd want besides this, like, enterprise support? I don't think so.
I don't think Google's interested in buying RIM. I know it's popular to think so, but I don't think RIM's for sale to start with.
Well, what are they going to do with it? It's the two things are not even, like, there's no reason for it'd be like when Sprint bought Nextel.
Oh.
Why?
Oh, yeah, that worked out. Yeah,
you know, what? It would be great if they had some sort of enterprise management solution designed by RIM for Android.
Right.
Yes,
well, then license
absolutely.
It out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all that needs done. That's all Google needs from RIM. People say patents and everything. Google doesn't make hardware. RIM holds patents for hardware.
Yep.
You know, Google can license those out to their OEMs, but, you know,
Let's play along. Even if they did, it would be so long before you saw, you know, the fruits of any of that, that it's almost not even worth talking about, just because the business will have iterated so much by that point. You know, Android will have iterated, the hardware will have iterated, so that anything we say now just would be moot at that point, I think. That's what I
think. Agreed. I mean, yeah, this, in 5 years, we're going to laugh at what we're using today.
Yeah. All right, finally we have Steven.
Hey, Android Central. This is Steven. I'm looking into getting a used HTC Inspire to use as an iPod Touch-like device, apps and internet without an expensive data plan. The seller has the device rooted and is willing to install any custom ROM of my choice, but before I buy, I'd like to know more about the rooting process itself. First, if I ask for the device to run vanilla gingerbread, what would it take for me to get major updates such as Ice Cream? Would I have an easy and safe way to download updates, such as a one-click install and automatic over-the-air update? Or would I have to pay an expert to configure my phone for each update? And second, what would be the situation with incremental updates, such as how Gingerbread has 2.3.3 and 2.3.4? So basically, I'm looking at how I can future-proof my purchase. Thanks, guys.
Well, I mean, when you root a device and start doing custom ROMs, you're pretty much taking yourself out of that update ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't need to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're dependent on the developer of the ROM you're using to update his as the updates come from the OEM,
which might be better.
And most of them. Oh yeah. I mean, there's a good chance that, you know, he'll put a custom ROM on there and he'll love it much better than he would with stock. But no, he's not going to be able to be notified there's an update available, click a button, and be done in 10 minutes. That's not going to happen.
How awesome is it the dude's getting Inspire just to use, like...
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, usually after an update comes out, somebody releases it kind of vanilla anyway. So, you know... You don't need it. You don't need the over-the-air updates.
That's pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
And it's not hard to update your phone, especially an HTC phone. It can all be done without even hooking it up to a computer.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're listening, it's not hard. It's something you can easily learn.
And if you haven't read Jerry's editorial, and I made him write this because I was busy, but HTC really has done it right. And I have a feeling it's HTC and Sprint. And I think, yeah, I did ask the guys about that the other night, and they think a lot of it had to do with Sprint as well. but they're doing it right. Like, we've seen the way they partitioned everything, you know, they can update apps on the fly without having to totally redo the system image, and they can redo the system image, you know, pretty quickly. They've already done one. So kudos to HTC and Sprint for doing that the right way. I think I would love to see everybody else do it like that. Samsung, especially. Keys is the devil. All right, let's do some emails and we'll wrap it up. I'll do the first one since I'm sitting here. Richard writes, really interested in getting an Asus Transformer to replace my iPad, but I'm afraid some important apps might hold me back. One of the main things I do with the iPad is edit photos on the go, but I haven't found any Android apps yet that seem good enough. Are there any out there you'd recommend and are, if possible, tablet optimized? Closest I would think would maybe be Photoshop. And they're doing some really cool things. I'm not sure if we've seen any third-party stuff. So Photoshop opened up an SDK for basically communicating between Photoshop and the desktop, and it's CS5 with the iPad and Android as well. And I just haven't looked into it, but that could be a way to go. Check Adobe's forums, I guess, and see if they've released anything yet. But and the demo we saw was really, really interesting. But, I mean, tablet apps, we're getting there, I think. But we're not there yet. We're still lagging behind. Anybody else?
Yeah. I just wonder, you know, can you ever really expect to do any real serious photo editing on a device with 1 gigabyte of RAM and, you know, just a small ARM processor? Phil, you use Photoshop. Have you ever loaded a great big full-res picture from your camera?
Yes.
Can you see that running on an iPad smoothly with a good use? Okay. You know, so that's, you know, I just hope we're not, I think we're expecting more than we should.
If a tablet was going to be my only device, then maybe I'd want it. But otherwise, I would run to my nearest computer to do any sort of photo editing.
Yep.
How to get Corey.
Can you hear that? Every week they come and get me at the end of the show.
All right, who was the next one?
I'll take it. So this is from E-City, I think. Yeah. City. He writes, here's a simple yes or no question. Verizon is charging $50 per month for 5 gigabytes. Do you know if they need to charge that much to make a reasonable profit? No.
No, we don't know.
No,
sorry.
No, I yes, so no, we do not know. Although here's a good way to tell if it actually is going to be this amount. As we see, as we've seen, obviously Verizon has made changes. AT&T did this last year. Sprint is really the only holdout that we have left that is giving us this unlimited plan. And so depending on what happens with them, as they start to move forward, and you know, we've seen some rumblings here of them making the switch over and licensing out an LTE network for their use. If they decide to do that, and if they stick with their unlimited plans, and they don't have to make something, you know, nothing has to give anywhere else, then it seems like a $30 price point is reasonable, especially if you've got 50 million subscribers. Now, we're talking about networks, i.e. AT&T and Verizon, that have 100 million subscribers, and they are trying to essentially cover the same physical area, right, if you talk about the U.S. So there's something there with the number of users that they have. But I'd be interested to see what happens with Sprint. If we see them this time next year still in an unlimited situation, then it's something else. That's why they're doing that, obviously, you know, because they want more money. But to answer the question, no, I don't know if they need to charge that much to make a reasonable profit, but that's just where things are right now, and that's what they're going to charge.
Well, they were willing to make the trade-off of making people upset, so they must be making something decent off of it.
Well, I mean, who decides what's reasonable? What's reasonable to us may not be reasonable to the Verizon board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like I've said all along, they're doing what they think is in their best interest. What else do you want from them?
Whatever they can get away with. You know, if they could have done 70, right, they would have done 70. But
you're probably right. you know, if they thought they could get away with it. But
if that's, you know, it's a supply and demand thing. I mean, they're not going to charge $70 when people are charging half of that for, you know, unlimited data like Sprint is doing, because that's not, it doesn't make sense. So, but again, they have a premium product over what Sprint has right now in many situations, not everywhere, but in general, LTE is a premium product over Sprint's 4G network. And it doesn't really seem like Sprint is going to take that network anywhere, number one, because it isn't theirs. But it also seems like they're going to be moving away from it. There's been a number of things that have come out that they're going to be doing things like, you know, working on a licensing agreement with LightSquared. Now, I'm not feeling too confident about that one these days, but, you know, that could change here if they get their act together.
Well, even when their technology wasn't better, I mean, they've always been more expensive than anyone else. Sprint had a better 3G network than Verizon, in my opinion. It was faster and more mm-hmm. reliable, and, sure. and Verizon still charged twice as much as Sprint did. So but
they were doing something that they could. They still grew every year.
Yeah, absolutely, because they have that reputation of having a really solid voice network. And I think, you know, I think Mickey's right. LTE is obviously the best choice that you can get right now, and so they, you know, and they have to pay for it, right? It wasn't you know, cheap for them to implement it, so they have to pay for the technology.
You know what I don't like? I don't mind it all that much that we're talking about a 4G network with tiered pricing, but what I don't like is that we're talking about 3G getting wrapped into that. Just because this is a network that essentially is going to be there just to support the legacy devices that are there and fill in the gaps, because it's kind of like, you know, 1X. How often do you see yourself on 1X? Unless you live in a rural area or are in a poor service area, you probably don't. Yeah. Okay.
Never,
sorry.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I wish they would have split that off. And I think that would have gone so much further with customers if they would have said, we're moving on to this brand new, you know, blazing fast network. You're going to get all of this, but we're going to have to put it out in tiers. But if you can still keep your 3G stuff and do your thing. Now, the good news, if you're on Verizon, if you've had Verizon, you can continue being on Verizon for your unlimited amount of data. There's nothing that's changing for you. It's just for the new customers. So, you know, you can look at it either way.
That's true. I think the thing that bothers me the most about the way the tiered plans is I hate that, like, sort of concept of me having to monitor what I'm doing. Even though I'll probably never hit that 5 gigabit cap, it'll always be on my mind. They should have had, you know, 50 bucks a month. You know, if they're going to raise the price that much, they should call that one unlimited and maybe do everything else, you know, at a tiered level, at a capped level. But that, just the idea of having to know that I have to monitor my usage, it just bothers me.
But well, here's an interesting point.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry,
Alex. Just going to say that over here, you can carriers are allowed to advertise a service with a cap as unlimited if they reasonably think that most of their customers will never hit that limit. So if you do that kind of thing over here, you would find that you wouldn't be aware that you had a limit, but you could still potentially hit a limit and then have, you know, some kind of email or message from your carrier saying, look, stop using so much data.
Yeah, even
so
that would be, that would work. You know, I'd be okay with that. It's just the psychology of knowing that I have a cap and not knowing if I'm going to go over or whatever. I mean, at some point one day I could go over and then all of a sudden I have these huge overage charges. And I don't know, maybe they do notify you. Maybe they send you a text message saying you're getting close or something.
Yeah, they do know. It's at 50, 70, 90, 100, and 110% of your limit. They're going to send you all sorts of notices. You're not going to be in the dark. And here's the reality. This is life now. We are going to see these things for at least the, you know, the near future, probably for the rest of, you know, this current generation of devices that we have. We're going to be seeing this, and we're going to deal with it. And a year from now, we're probably not going to be thinking about it too much. And you're going to use what you use. I did kind of a very quick, rough estimate today too, because someone asked me a question about, oh, is the Verizon phone that I bought last year or last month, I should say, am I going to have problems with streaming music? And so I did a quick little chart, and I figured out if you streamed a 64 kilobit audio stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a 30-day month, you'd only stream 20 gigs. So you know, you take out all of these other factors, and it's you're not going to probably find most people running up against a limit. Yes, there's going to be some. There's going to be a lot of people listening to this show that go over 2 gigabytes every month. There's people like Jerry that use, I don't know, I can't remember. I'm just going to keep it.
19. Polished.
Yeah, 87 gigs Jerry used one month. 87.
Yeah. But
I want to talk about that for a second. Just for you, Mickey, I started watching how I use this data. A 87-minute Netflix movie, 801 megabytes.
Okay.
Well, Netflix movie.
Google is now, so they're offering movies in the market, right? So it's not even difficult for me to hit that 2 gigabyte mark. So
not at all.
That means that everybody that is going to have, you know, medium to high usage on their phone, they're going to have to do the $50 plan instead of the $30 plan. And otherwise, you will constantly be worrying about hitting that 2 gigabit limit.
Yeah, but here's the other thing with Jerry. Jerry is using all of this data in a lot of it. Like, you're watching Netflix movies like on your porch, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm doing it because I can. I
exactly.
Your porch. /GB Hill/porch.
Yeah.
/home/porch.
But you know what I'm saying? There's a way to get around that, and that way is with Wi-Fi. You know, in his situation, he doesn't have to use 19 gigs. That makes a lot of sense, though. You know, I watched. I actually just saw this very similar thing just happened to me. I'm like 3 days into my bill, and I've already used like 600 megs, and I was like, "What? What did I do?" You know? And then I was like, "Oh, All-Star Game." I was out. I was watching the All-Star Game over Slingbox. You know? And that's just something like that simple. You know, but it got me thinking about it. But the video thing is really where the rubber's going to hit the road for these plans, and people are going to realize it very quickly. If they're watching a lot of video, how many problems that they're going to have with this. And, you know, with LTE, you don't even think about it because it's that quick.
I think I must just be weird. Last month, I used about 240 megs in total the entire month.
Well, in Europe, I mean, so we've been kind of spoiled, right? In the U.S., this is new to us, but the rest of the world's been doing this for a long time. Even your home internet connections, Alex, aren't you guys metered?
Kind of. It's some are metered, some aren't. You can still get fully unlimited broadband here, but you're not so much limited in the amount that you can use as you are limited in the actual speed. So,
okay.
I think the fastest we can get here is about 50 megabits down, about 10 up.
I'd probably pay 60 if it just said unlimited. I'd probably pay $10 more just to have that, you know, sort of feeling that.
And there's like a 2 gig limit per month.
I do the same thing with my minutes too. Of course, my company is paying for it, so it's not a big deal to me. But I like having unlimited minutes, even though I don't ever use them. So I'm probably a really terrible consumer in that regard.
All right,
it makes me feel
boys
better.
And girls, I think is going to wrap up our weekly rant against tiered data.
Sorry.
I think that's going to wrap up the podcast as well. Mickey, do your thing.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email, podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave a voicemail by calling 888-468-6158, extension 222. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GB Hill. Corey is @C Streeter. And I think I figured this out last time that Alex is @AndroidCentral, correct?
Yeah, something like that.
You're on Google Plus though, right?
I'm on Google Plus. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm linked somewhere.
How did you get away with Android Central? That's cool.
He's not Android Central. Never
mind. Oh, okay.
that would be me.
Oh, right.
The entire site and the podcast brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can place your order by calling 888-468-6158.
Do it now. And if you haven't done it yet, go to mobilenations.com and check out all the other awesome podcasts we have going on over there. All the other sites as well, Crackberry, Tippy, WP Central, the Pre-Central Palmcast, Iterate, Zen and Tech. They have some new ones for keeping your body healthy while staying a stationary nerd. It's some really good stuff going on. So go to mobilenations.com and check all that out as well. Jerry, Mickey, Corey, Alex, Verizon, Tier Data, thank you. thank you. Seriously, you guys are going to have to give it a rest at some point. I know everybody wants to bitch about it.
But I wasn't ranting. I understand it.
You're not a Verizon customer.
If I wouldn't be a Verizon customer simply because they don't offer a budget plan. And they try to tell you that you're saving money.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, I understand.
We're done. We're going. We'll be back next week, guys, live on Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, whatever time that is, wherever else you may be. I don't do math. And recorded version shortly thereafter. So thank you very much, and catch y'all later.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
See ya.